Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Tonight we'll be looking at a very, very critical issue. And I believe that this is the heartbeat of God concerning you, concerning me at this moment. If we all agree with me that there is a serious tension, there is a serious struggle in the spirit realm concerning us. The desire of the enemy is to have us and sift us like wheat. But I want to thank God that our Lord, who sits at the right side of God and who continues to intercede for us so that our faith might not fail, that God has brought us together to intimate us with the present challenges, the prevailing situations regarding our faith in Christ Jesus. You will agree with me that our faith in Christ Jesus is under serious threat. We are being attacked day by day. While some of our brethren are going through physical attack, in form of ethnic clash, religious terrorism or whatever, several of us are going through mental attack. Several of us, we are going through family challenges. We are going through challenges in our place of work. And it appears as if our God is impotent. Our God is unwilling to save us. That many a times, even we ourselves, we begin to question, we begin to query the love of God. Beloved, it's a common phenomenon. And the Bible says, it is not peculiar to you. It is an offense that affects your brothers all over the world. So tonight, we'll be looking at the topic, contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. And we'll be studying the book of Jude. It has only one chapter. And Jude is the second to the last book in the Bible. After Jude, you get Revelation. And that's the end of the Bible. Jude has only one chapter. In your Bible, it may appear as only one sheet. So, I want you to turn to it. Don't depend on the man on the screen. Look at your Bible. We are reading the first four verses. The first four verses. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. I thought I would hear a louder amen. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ our only suffering Lord. We'll stop there for the space of time. Like we said, that it is a common phenomenon for every believer in God, in every age, in every generation, to face certain challenges that we attempt to undermine their faith in God. The God whom they have chosen to serve, the God whom they have chosen to follow, the God whom they have pledged their allegiance to. Everyone that has faithfully declared to serve God, to follow Jesus, will surely go through challenges of life. There will be moments of trials. There will be moments of tribulations. There will be moments of tests. Certain things will come in certain ways to question your faith in Christ Jesus. This was also the case with the Christians in the days of our brother Jude. By the way, Jude is one of the half-brothers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you recollect that even Jude was once a non-believer in Christ. But later on, he also gave his life to Jesus. And he became the bond servant of Jesus. By the inspiration of God, he wrote to the Christians in his days. His original intention for writing them was to just to encourage them, just to admonish them on the common theme of our salvation, like Apostle Paul will do in some of his epistles. You recollect when he was writing to the Christians at Philippi. You know, he was trying to admonish them to remain faithful in the Lord, to remain one in the Lord, not to allow anything to undermine their unity in Christ Jesus. Such was the kind of epistle that Jude intended to write. But just as he put his pen on paper, there was a serious intervention. There was an interruption from heaven. That Jude, please, leave that your intention for now. This is a time of spiritual emergency in Christendom. Many believers have started to turn back. Many believers have started to compromise. Many believers have started to think that there is no hope for the future again. And because of that, they have started to adopt the principles of this world, the philosophies of this world, as their lifestyle. So I need you to quickly write to them so that they can remember where they are coming from. And you can also remind them of where they are going. That there is a treasure laid down for them. There's an inheritance to which they have been called into. And that inheritance is never fading, never spoiling. It's incorruptible. And so they can't afford to exchange that eternal glory with the transient glory of this world. So quickly write to them. And so the man of God said, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. To contend for the faith. You know, we are also living a day, in a time, that believers, they are losing confidence, they are losing hope in God because of the prevailing situations in the land. And even many pastors, many preachers, many churches, they have turned to a mere social gathering where what we emphasize are mundane things of this world. We emphasize material possessions because we feel that, poverty can make a person even to deny God. Yes. And you recollect when this heresy crept into the church, they were trying to twist the Bible. I remember in those days when you hear some preacher says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Then when did heretics, when they first started, they also have their own fashion that also the lack of money is also the root of all evil. And so emphasis was shifted from the preaching of righteousness, preaching of holiness, second coming of Jesus. We began to emphasize the things of this world. And so the church and the believers of today, we have become materialistic. We emphasize physical prosperity at the expense of the prosperity of the soul. And the more we talk about money, the less of the money we have. Because one thing about money is that it never satisfies. By the time you are counting 100 and you are praying, say, Lord, let me be counting thousands. When God gives you 1,000, what will happen? Then you also watch. Your ambition also increases. Lord, let me be counting million. And by the time you are counting million, what happened again? You want to be counting billions. And now you know that in Nigeria, we are not even talking about Naira again. We are now talking about the millions and billions of dollars. Say, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith. There are so many things that are embedded in this passage. But for the space of time, let's just go straight to the issue God is raising with us tonight. Contend earnestly for the faith. What is the faith that the man of God is talking about here? The faith here is not necessarily the personal belief in Christ for salvation. The faith here means the body of teaching passed down to the church by the apostles. The body of teachings, the whole teachings, the whole lifestyle of Jesus Christ, which the apostles claimed to have seen, to have touched. You remember when Apostle John was writing in 1 John chapter 1, he said, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have touched about this word of life. So this faith in question here has to do with the totality of the life, the totality of the teachings of Jesus Christ, witnessed, experienced by the apostles, and they passed on to the church. And you know that these apostles, they did not only teach the faith, they exemplified the faith. That is why Apostle Paul will say, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Follow in our examples. They were so bold, they were so courageous, they were so transparent to even ask the members of the church to follow in their footsteps, because they did everything under their ability to make Christ visible to the members of the church. What is this faith that we are talking about? Let's quickly do, since we are doing Bible study, let's study the Bible quickly. Let's start from the book of Acts of the Apostles. Number 2, we want to look at the faith that the apostles are talking about, the faith that Jude is talking about here, Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2. I want you to listen very well. We may not have enough time to explain everything because we have a number of Bible passages we want to read. From verse 22, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Let's jump to verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life. Please, I want you to take note. In verse 22, he said, this Jesus of Nazareth. Then in 32, God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of it, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Let's jump to 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. You see that now? This Jesus. Then verse 37. When the people heard this, what did they hear? This Jesus. The message about this Jesus. The message of the life, the message of the death, the message of the resurrection of this Jesus. When they heard this, they were caught to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see now that what was uppermost to the apostles, what was the priority of the apostles, was to make Jesus visible to everyone, such that when they see Jesus, they will become aware of their own unworthiness. They will become aware of their own sins, and they will no longer continue to live in sin, but they will cry out in order to be delivered from sin. So the issue before the apostles was to bring everybody into repentance from sins, in order for them to obtain forgiveness. Because until a person obtains forgiveness, he has no portion, he has no part in the inheritance that God has kept for his people. So they were passionate about preaching Jesus. They were passionate about making Jesus known to people, because it is only through Jesus a person can be aware of his own sinfulness and a person can be delivered from sin. What about Acts chapter 3, 4 to 8? I'm presuming on your knowledge of the Bible that you recollect what happened from verses 1 to 4. So we jump to verse 3. We jump to verse 4. Okay? Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold, I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple court, walking and jumping and praising God. Silver and gold I do not have. They were not preaching money. They were not, their focus was not on material possessions. Their focus was Jesus. Their intention was to present Jesus to everyone and present everyone to Jesus. By the time the two of you now meet each other, eternity will tell the outcome of your encounter with Jesus. So they brought this man to the knowledge of the knowledge saving of our Lord Jesus Christ, and right there he was saved from his infirmity of about 40 years. Then in chapter 4 from verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and had been asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Do you see this Jesus? Even when they were standing trials, even when they were being interrogated, it is Jesus they were mentioning. Every opportunity they have to stand before anybody, all that they kept on emphasizing was Jesus. Was Jesus. Romans chapter 6, 6 to 10. Romans chapter 6. Please don't be tired. This is Bible study. Romans chapter 10, 6 to 10. "But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does he say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." You know, we are looking at the faith that was delivered once and for all to the saints. You see, this Jesus. And when you look at Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 9, he said, "It is by faith you are saved, not by works." By faith we are saved, not by works. And when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4, I think we need to read that one. "Now, brothers and sisters, I have to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and of which you have taken your stand." The gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. We can go on and on and on and on to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, Colossians 1 25 to 28, but let's read Colossians 2 6 to 9 as we round off that session because of our time. Colossians chapter 2. Can you give it to me in a New King James fashion? Colossians chapter 2 6 to 9. Yes. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Yes? Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Did you just hear that? That if you are in Jesus Christ, you have no deficiency. You are already complete. There is no need for you to repeat. There's no need for you to do makeup. Because those who do makeup are those who are deficient in certain areas. So they have to make up in that area. So the Bible says, in Christ, you are complete. Because it is in Christ, the totality of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The totality of the Godhead is what? In Christ. And Christ is in you. Colossians 1:27. And Christ is the totality of Godhead is in Christ. And Christ is in you. So what happened now? You are complete. So you don't look for salvation elsewhere. You don't look for deliverance elsewhere again. There is no other place where you can get deliverance. There is no other place where you can get hope. You can have hope in this life. Everything of God resides in Christ, and Christ resides in you. So you are complete in Christ Jesus. That is the gospel. That is the faith that has been delivered unto us by the apostles. And so he said, we must contend. So summarily, the whole gospel that sums up the Christian faith is that salvation is found only in Christ and through faith in him alone. And again, that once a person is in Christ and Christ is in him, he is totally complete. He is fully complete. He lacks nothing again. All he needs to do in order to access everything that is in Christ, which is now in him, is for him to be taking root. To be taking root in Christ. Is for him to be walking daily in Christ. Is for him to be established in Christ. The more established you are, the more root you take, the more consistent you are in your daily walk with Christ, the more of God and of his blessing you will have. That's all. QED. Walk in him. Walk in him. Rooted in him. Built up together. You are already complete in Christ. So this is the faith that was delivered. And he said we are to contend earnestly for this faith. The word contend, what does it mean? This word already presupposed to us that the Christian life is a battle. And we do know that in every battle, there must be a loser and there must be a winner. So the Bible says, for you to be a Christian, for you to be in Christ, you are in a battle. Therefore, you must never be let loose. You must never be caught on guard, unguarded. You must be at alert. You must be like a soldier. So to contend earnestly means to earnestly struggle for something. It is the meeting of effort by effort, striving against opposition as in a battle, or as a contestant will strain for victory against a foe. That is, you must make every effort to ensure that you are not defeated. You are not defeated. So quickly, we want to look at three things about this contending for the faith. The first one is the necessity for contending for the faith. The necessity for contending for the faith. And we read from the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. We saw that Jesus Christ, he saw Peter and his brother Andrews. They were together with their father by the Sea of Galilee. And he told them, follow me. I will do what? I will make you fishers of men. Please mark the word of Jesus. Say, follow me. Abi, follow me. It means that what? Jesus is on a journey. Say, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. What does that mean? As to follow me one day at a time. Every day, I will make you. You become a what? A fisher of men. Not that follow me and you become. No, and you be. So it's I will make you. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. We are getting to somewhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. What does the Bible say? It says 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Then 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 to 6. We are looking at the necessity for contending for the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 to 6. Says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Next. No, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Okay? Then, the hard work farmer, verse 6, the hard working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crop. What does this mean? The Christian race is a lifelong process. And this lifelong process has its inception. It has its progression and completion. So the Christian life is like a race. The Christian life is like a battle. The Christian life is like farming. The Christian life is a process. Process of becoming something. Okay? So no soldier is crowned a champion until he has won the battle. In the same way, no athlete is awarded the trophy except he has finished the race and according to the rule. Also, no farmer reaps the harvest except he has faithfully and diligently labored for the harvest. So, in the Christian life, it is not enough to start well. It is not enough to start well. It is more rewarding to finish well and finish wrong. And that's why I like that strong statement made by Steve Farrar, the author of Finishing Strong. He said, in the Christian life, it is not how a man starts that matters, but how he finishes. How he finishes. Then when you look at the second necessity for contending for the faith, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, 26 to 31, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 31, the necessity for contending for the faith, 26 to 31, it says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. And we can consider that. I think you have gotten that statement. That if we should draw back into apostasy, if we should now say we do not believe in Jesus as the only way for salvation. For such a person, no more sacrifice for sin is remaining. So because of this, we must continue to contend for the faith. And the second issue quickly is the motivation for contending for the faith. The first thing under this motivation is that there is a payday in view for every Christian. We are not serving God in vain. We have an inheritance to obtain. Hebrews 10, 32 to 39. Hebrews 10, 32 to 39. And 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. Another motivation is the struggles, though very necessary for our faith, is to mature us and to develop our character. Without the struggles, without the contest that we are to engage in, we will not be matured. Our muscles, our spiritual muscles will not develop. Our character also will not develop. So there is a need for us to contend in this battle. There's a need to engage in the battle in order for our character to be developed. Then the next thing about the motivation, that one is also found in Hebrews 10, 35 to 37 and chapter 6, 9 to 19. And what is that? God is faithful and his word is reliable to hold on to. And if you do, you will not be disappointed eventually. God is faithful. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, it says, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For just in a little while, he who is coming, we do what? We come and we not delay." God is faithful to his word. Every promise that he has given, that he will bring to pass. And finally on that one is that no matter how tough your struggles, your contest for the faith is, you are not in it alone. God is in it with you. God is right there with you. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Matthew 28:20 said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And Isaiah 43:1-2 said, "When you pass through the fire, what will I do? I will be with you." Please mark the word, "when you pass through," meaning that it is of a necessity. It is not optional. When you pass through the fire, I will be with you. The fire will not burn you. When you pass through the waters, the water will not sweep you away. And when you go through the whatever, he said, "I will be with you." And of course, Psalm 23, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because the Lord is with me. These are our motivations for contending for the faith. And of course, what about the reward? The third thing, the reward for contending for the faith. Like we said, every battle that is faithfully fought and won, there is a victory to celebrate. There are spoils to divide. There are medals to receive, to win. Genesis 21 from verse 1. "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he has said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, 'God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me.' And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. There's a reward. Glorious reward for that matter. For us too, here in this world, we are going to reap the reward of our faith. And over there in heaven, we'll receive that incorruptible, undefiled, never spoiling inheritance kept in heaven for us. So I pray for you that the Lord will give strength to your fainting heart, that you will not, because of porridge, exchange your birthright. You will not throw away your confidence, because that your confidence, that your faith in Christ, carries with it great reward, eternal weight of glory. So I pray that God will help you to remain confident, to remain courageous, to keep fighting till you see the Lord face to face, till you see Him coming to reward you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church, or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org. We look forward to having you back next week.